Good evening and happy holidays to you. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us tonight. We have a very special show, some great people lined up to talk with. It's ladies' night. We're going to be featuring some outstanding high school and college women's basketball programs on tonight's show. And of course, when you say ladies' night, you think of the ultimate ladies' man, the co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Groller.
I got to give you props, my friend. You're the ladies, man, and you really, our set, our studio's never looked better than it does tonight.
I agree with that.
I also have to give you props to get the right color scheme. I did not get the memo. I forgot I should have dressed in red.
Ethan's been around a few years. I thought you'd know to, you know, red, white.
I know, but I let you handle it. You look really stylish tonight.
Are you happy because you've been complaining the last few weeks I don't give you enough superlatives during the introduction?
I could use a few more.
I'll write that down for next week. Work on that. Keep path. All right, let's introduce our special guests in studio tonight. We have the head coach of the Easton Girls Basketball Program, Dave Lutz, and we're joined for the first half of our program by two of their outstanding seniors, Gabby Blaschik and Shelby Stocker. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Congratulations on all your success, Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know the girls were looking forward to this for a couple days, and we're glad to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you in. First of all, congratulations to you. You're entering your fourth year. Easton has had some great girls basketball programs in its history, but this is like an unprecedented run. A defending EPC champs, school record for victories last year. How much fun has it been so far?
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. I've been blessed. I tell the girls all the time that I'm very thankful. This is a great group going through, and they work very hard in practice. I know that coaches say that all the time, but it's true. They come to practice, they put team first, and they get along, and it's been very, very enjoyable. And it's not just the wins. You know, that obviously that helps a lot, but knowing that I can go to practice and have a team that's going to work very hard and play together, it's been very, very enjoyable.
Is it tough sharing the ball? I mean, because that's a pleasant problem to have with all these great players you have, sharing the ball and divvying it up. Has that ever been a challenge?
Not so far, and I don't expect it to be. We emphasize team first, and the girls are all very unselfish, you know, and it hasn't been a problem. I don't expect it to be.
I covered that EPC. I didn't get to see much of you last year, but I saw you in the best moment of the season when you beat Parkland over at Liberty High School for the EPC championship, and I was just impressed. Really impressed with the execution, with the discipline, with the patience. And you guys, I thought, really outdid Parkland in every capacity. Now we come back in the following year. You have a lot of the same people back. Right. Do they have the same passion, the same desire to drive through it and defend that EPC championship?
Well, I think so. And I think we've had our best preseason in practice in my 4 years. The girls have worked extremely hard. And we've added some new things, you know, to try to improve. And they've done a great job. We had an excellent. I told them after our last practice before we opened up that I really appreciated how hard they worked and some of the stuff that they put up with to be a better team. And they've done a great job. Right through the JV team have been great this year.
What are you doing this summer? I don't get to see you. I cover some of the girls' tournaments over at Cedar Beach, but did you do the Forks Township League? Where do you go?
We play in Forks, and we play in the Holy Family tournament that Mike Kopp runs, and where else do we play girls? Parkland tournament, and we go to Kutztown team camp, and we do a lot. We have open gyms, and we don't get out to Allentown to play in that summer league or those tournaments. You know, because it, you know, some conflicts.
They'd love to have you, by the way.
No, I know they keep inviting us, so maybe in the future we'll see.
You've kind of been on an emotional roller coaster the last few years. A lot of successes, but some tough roads too. And Gabby, of course, you had an issue last year, and a great story that came out of it. Shelby, you've had the ACL that you're recovering from, so I want to ask you about that. But Gabby, we'll start with you. What was it like starting last year with an illness, and then one of the most emotional moments during the basketball season, I think, was your return and at a big game against Liberty. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
It was really hard coming back because when I was first back, I still wasn't able to play for a while. So I was out till like the beginning of January, but everybody on the team was just really supportive. And like the day I came back, how like Kyla cried and stuff. It was just really unexpected, like how heartwarming they were. But it was really nice that they all cared that much.
Yeah. And Shelby, you have an ACL injury that you're trying to come back from. What's your status and 100% or close to it?
Yeah, I'm actually 100% right now. I was just cleared a week ago. So I played in the game on Tuesday night, and I'm easing back into playing time. But we're working at that right now, and it's been going well. I haven't had much pain or anything, so it's looking good.
Shelby, is this a group that's been together for a while? Did you guys, you know, hang out together, start on the same youth teams, like in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's actually funny because, I mean, a lot of the girls on my team I actually went against. They were my rivals in CBL, like Olivia and Taylor and Kara. They were all in Palmer, and then, like, Jacqueline and I were on Forks. Gabby also played for one of the Catholic school teams. So, I mean, we always went after each other, and then in middle school became teammates, and we've all been best friends since then. It's really, we're inseparable.
Now, we have a wireless mic, so all these girls can chime in. And you, as captains, you can call them out, too. If you have some stories you want to ask them about, feel free to take your captainship duties here and call them. You want to say hello and wave to the camera? Let everyone know you're here?
What?
Are they a vocal group? Are they,
oh,
do they
yeah,
like to chat?
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
There's cameras in the
corner. Oh, Jacqueline.
Who's the next ESPN anchor in waiting over there? Who would that be? The young lady with the microphone?
Well, I don't know. Mackenzie, I don't know. There's a couple of potential ESPN anchors. I don't know why Leanna Deegan, I would say her. Maybe not.
Maybe no. Jacqueline Fine.
Now they've also sung Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, so you know that would be a little festive. If you want to, you've been kind of downplaying that possibility.
Well, I don't remember what game it was. It was a big win, and Peabert. Well, there was another time he sang, and we were coming home, and to be honest with you, I couldn't understand one word they were saying, and maybe it was better that way. But they've known to sing on the bus after big wins.
Yeah, I want to get a sense of how the league. I think it's a very balanced, strong league. You open up with a win over Liberty. That was a nice win for you. I know Northampton's very good. Parkland's always good. Central Catholic, Bethlehem Catholic, they're always pretty
Nazareth.
Good. Nazareth, yeah. Which was a summer, you know, won the district after you guys won the league last year. What are your thoughts? I think it's, just like the boys, I think it's going to be extremely balanced this year, Dave.
Well, definitely. There's a lot of good teams, and we keep telling the girls that if they don't come to play every game, and, you know, we're going to go home with a loss. There's not one team on our schedule I think we could take lightly. So it's good. And in the long run, that's really going to help you, especially when it comes around playoff time and hopefully, you know, a little bit farther. The tougher schedule we play, it definitely will help us. And I think it helped us a lot last year, too. So, you know, every game's going to be a challenge, and we'll have to play well.
How's your non-league schedule? Who have you, I know you're in their Eastern Rotary Tournament coming up. That's always a big event. Who else do you have in your non-league schedule?
We travel to Crestwood to play, Crestwood High School. We play Boyertown down in Boyertown High School in January. Of course, Peaberg, they're in the Rotary Tournament, but they're also one of our non-league games, too.
I want to ask you about some of the big games last year. EPC title, obviously that was big. You know, getting better, you know, getting back, getting healthy, Gabby having your back. And then you lost Mackenzie, which we'll ask her about, too. So that was part of that roller coaster you went on last year. So what was the EPC championship like? And, you know, then I'll ask you about the district. But at first, let's concentrate on the EPC last year. What was that like bringing home a championship?
It was huge. I mean, we had these expectations since we were, like, freshmen, but making it reality last year was awesome, and, I mean, we had a lot to look forward to. Unfortunately, we didn't get districts, but that's something we'll look forward to this year, and leagues was just a huge confidence booster, and it was really great to end with.
I think with leagues, even though we were missing Kenzie, I think we had to come closer together as a team to make it there, and that we just worked a whole lot harder to get there, and once we got there, we weren't going to lose like we did the year before in districts to Nazareth. We didn't want that again. We didn't want that feeling.
Yeah. I think one of the great things about your team is that on any given night, anyone can step up. You know, I was going to ask Taylor at one point, too, about big game last year. But, you know, how do you handle that? Do you say, okay, Gabby has the hot hand, so you feed her, or you know, Shelby has the hot hand, you give it inside more? Do you kind of decide on the fly, or do you kind of know, you know,
yeah,
who has the hot hand
the
going
fly.
In?
Yeah, it kind of comes naturally.
Yeah, it's whoever's hot at the time. We're just going to go in the ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also everyone can step in whenever. I mean, like, if someone has a hot hand, there's also another person who probably has a hot hand 2 seconds later. So it's awesome that we can really share the ball that way and have everyone chip in and everyone contributes.
For that kind of approach to work, it's got to be an unselfish deal. And I sense, and I sensed even in that one game against Parkland, this is a very unselfish team where it doesn't really matter who's the high scorer as long as you guys get the W at the end. Is that the way it is, Gabby?
Yeah.
I meant Shelby. I was looking at Shelby. I'm sorry.
I
said on radio one time, I thought you guys look a little bit alike, and I apologize if that's not the case, but no. Go ahead, Shelby.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, we don't really have anyone who really just worries about their points. I mean, we really want to win. That's our goal, and it's always been like that. I mean, we just really want to win. We move the ball around. If you have to make the extra pass, you make the extra pass for us to score. So, I mean, it's really nice to play on a team like that. It makes it a lot more fun.
Our special guest in studio are the Easton girls basketball program. Dave Lutz is here for the first half of the program. Gabby Blaschik and Shelby Stocker with us. Some more players will be joining us during the second half of the program. And coming up in just a little bit, we'll have a Hall of Fame player and coach joining us. George Washington head coach Jen Rosati joining us on the Skype lines. But right now is your chance to win tonight's trivia prize as we head to our first break. And it does involve girls basketball in the Lehigh Valley area that will give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. Since 1990, there have only been two teams not currently in the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference that have gone on to win the District 11 4A girls basketball titles. Name them. We need you to name the two teams not currently in the EPC that have won District 11 4A girls titles over the last 26 years. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Ahead of the holiday season, our special guest in studio, Dave Lutz, the head coach of the Easton girls basketball program, Gabby Blaschik and Shelby Stocker joining us at the main table. We have other members of the great Easton girls basketball program here. We're going to get them to chime in a minute. Keith, I want to ask you something. I want to get a definitive answer here. You have been around for decades covering sports. I will maintain that the women from Easton High School may be the smartest group of athletes when it comes to sports or sports IQ, because I can ask traditionally, I'm setting the bar pretty high here, so we're ready for the next question. But usually, I mean, seriously, you talk to the softball players and they know how the baseball team's doing and how the basketball team's doing. Is it your experience that Easton at least is one of, on a short list, of the most intelligent fan bases?
What am I going to say? We got all these ladies.
Well, I'm saying it. I will go on record and say for years.
Noah Mays is number one. What am I going to say? Of course Easton's very knowledgeable. I will say this, Chris.
I can ask him about any sport, though.
I think when, and I mean that, and I've said this on radio and other places, Easton to me is the best sports town in the Lehigh Valley. Because you got magic happening at Cottingham Stadium, and you see people that you've seen for years. They got the strong wrestling. The basketball's got a great tradition. I cover a lot of softball in the spring. I just think Easton and the people, when they have a winner, they support their teams as strong as anybody. There's just great tradition. I go to their banquet. What's that thing that they have?
Hall of Fame banquet.
It's like the one of the longest nights of the year. But when I sit there and big time name after big time name gets up, you talk about legends, living legends. I mean, I've attended that thing for a couple of years now, and it's a great, great night. And you realize, wow, Easton has had its share of great teams and great sports people, coaches, even trainers. They honor a lot of trainers. It's a great sports town. Would you agree, Mr. Lutz?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just to see when you're in the lobby at the high school, the great athletes, great coaches, and great support people that the school's had through its history, it's pretty special, pretty unbelievable. And I know when I was growing up and playing, just the support they would come back and give all athletes was pretty special. And it was great to grow up there and play, and now to be able to come back and coach my second stint with the basketball team, it's really a pleasure, and I'm honored to do it.
But one thing I wanted to get into, and I noticed with her, and I follow her on Twitter, and she's commenting, she's chiming in on I'm not prying. I just want to, I like to know what's going on with the kids, and somebody from Allen, you're like, yeah, you're a friend of somebody from Allen, boys basketball, whatever. You seem to really, and it's from the AAU stuff, right? Is that where it is? There's a lot of bonds made in AAU ball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I made a lot of friends through AAU, and the other girls have made friends through AAU, and we kind of just connect that way. And even if we don't really know each other that well, we kind of become friendly with each other just because we're all athletes and we just share a common goal and everything. So that's definitely how we've come to like know people in our community and even in other schools, so kind of become friends.
Is there a basketball community that's on, you know, that even breaks down the barriers of schools, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's we're all pretty alike, so we definitely share common interests.
Yeah. Gabby, what's it like for you? First of all, I think they have a brainwashing class. Like fifth grade, you learn about every sport. But what's it like for you growing up in the Easton community and, you know, interacting with other athletes and, you know, going to other sporting events? And then, you know, we'll see, especially during the playoffs, we'll see people from other sports coming to your games.
Yeah, when I was little, I actually didn't, like, I grew up in Easton, but I went to St. Jane's. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really, like, sure with the tradition and stuff, like football games and stuff. When I was little, like, I didn't really go to them.
Yeah.
But, like, getting older and coming through middle school and stuff, like, it's really a big deal to people here. And, like, not even football games, like any other sporting events. Like, a lot of people come out for the guys' games and stuff. And I know us, the girls, we really want to support the guys when we can. Like, if they play a home game and we don't have a game, we all want to go and watch them play.
Yeah. There's got to be a class that they have because, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. just to beat into your heads, Peaburg Easton, you're going to, you know, that rivalry alone, I mean, people get nuts about that rivalry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The one thing about Easton sports is, and it's true, like, you really do pull for the other teams. You know, sometimes you hear of other schools, there's a little jealousy between
teams.
Programs and coaches, but I don't think in all my years associated with Easton Athletics I've ever felt that. And I know when we're not in basketball season, I always, you know, am rooting for the other teams. And, you know, we get on the bus after an away game, we're always trying to find out how the mm-hmm. boys did, and you generally pool for each other. And I think that's one of the great things about coaching and working in Easton.
I just have a question. Is anybody in the band from Easton? Anybody in the band?
Or you don't? Oh, that's a good band.
That's what I want to compliment. I want to compliment them because when I go to Easton, it's one of those tremendous atmospheres. You know, Cottingham has got an atmosphere unlike any other, but the band really does. I like the Liberty Band, but they're like, you know, that the old school British stuff. Right. You know, the Grenadier Band, they're a great band. But the Easton people, they really get down with the current hits.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. I don't know if you ever covered a game, basketball game, but when our pep band is at a basketball game,
that's loud.
It's loud and special, and they're not there just to play. They really, you know, root for the team, and they usually pick out an opponent to kind of get on a little bit. But it's great when they're there, and they do an awesome job. And my wife always says this, that they play the best national anthem. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little inside joke, but that is true. That is true. And, I mean, just kind of you're sitting there, and, you know, a lot of times you're ready for the anthem to end to get the game going because of the nerves, but it kind of just sends goosebumps the way they play the national anthem. It's pretty special. And then throughout the whole game with them playing and cheering, it really is a great atmosphere.
I wish they would allow, and I know they can't because of all these, you know, restrictions, but I would like to see the bands allowed to play at the district games. I know it's no noisemakers, but I think it would add to the atmosphere.
Well, I definitely agree.
I've been saying it for years. We're not taking away that many seats.
No, not at all. And I think that the EPC, if I have this right, they're going to allow the bands
Terrific.
To play during the
to move
EPC
in the right
tournament.
Direction.
Yeah, definitely. And it could only help the game and help the atmosphere mm-hmm. and really make it an exciting venue.
There's a young lady who looks like she wants to be the next Chris Michael. So does she want to say something?
No, don't.
She's got the microphone
yeah.
right there.
Oh, I was going to ask Taylor about
it. Are you ready to roll?
She's saying no, so that means yes. I want to ask Taylor about the Harrisburg State playoff game. A career-high 12 points all coming in the second half. What was that game like, and what happened there in the overtime, if I got that correct?
Well, we were up by, like, 20 at half, and I don't know. We all have our on and off days, and like Shelby said, we all contribute, and I couldn't have done it without Deegan. Helped a lot. I don't know. We all moved the ball well.
You know, good. Chris, you said 12 points in the second half. Taylor had 12 points in the overtime
yeah.
period alone in about 2.5 minutes. So it was a pretty impressive 12 points. It couldn't have come at a better time for us, too. You know, I remember they hit a buzzer beater to send it to overtime. Mm-hmm. And coming off the bench as their coach, I'm like, all right, what can I say to, you know, get him out of what just happened and still
Give
try
Taylor
to win the
ball.
Game? Well, the first shot, I'll have to be honest with you, the first shot was a bomb. And as it left their hands, I didn't know what I was going to say, but she drained it. And then, like, a few seconds later, she hit another three. And before she's getting I think she got a three-point play on a backdoor play. So it was, before you know it, we were up 9 or 10, and, you know, pretty much the game was over.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think, and I just wrote about it for the boys, what do you think about the new six classifications? And I think we have more opportunities now to go to states. I think we get four teams coming out of the 6A.
Yeah, we do.
What do you think of it, Dave?
I think it's a good thing. We'll have to see how it plays out, but it definitely going to have more local teams, you know, going on, and obviously that helps us maybe advance. And you know, covering all these years, well, when I was coaching the boys, only two teams
right.
Went, and boy, there were a lot of good teams left behind because you got upset or you had one bad game, and you know that was very, very unfortunate. Because I remember a couple of times we finished third and didn't go, and you know I'm thinking, you know, we could be competing right now with some of these teams. So,
what's it going to take for us to get a team back to Hershey? I mean, we had a lot of success in girls. Basketball Central guy, they had a great run in the early 2000s. It seems like Philadelphia, much like in football and some other sports, is kind of providing those roadblocks.
There are so many good teams, and there have been, including this year, some teams, boys and girls, that could make some noise in the state playoffs. But you do need some breaks, and you have to be playing your best basketball at that end of the year. And there have been some teams very close, boys and girls, that you know, just had a couple bad breaks in close games. And, you know, the Parkland boys the last few years, I mean, they certainly were one of the best teams
in
the state.
Yeah, but they still couldn't by the quarterfinals, you know.
Yeah, so. No, I know, but there's so many good teams out there. And,
right.
I mean, last year I thought we had a really good chance to move on. We wound up playing a very good Cardinal O'Hara game, and they played really well and beat us. But, you know, I thought we were right there. So, you know, it'll take a couple breaks and to keep working hard, and, you know, hopefully it happens.
We're going to switch to players here in a moment, but before we lose Gabby and Shelby here, I want to ask about your college plans. Gabby, you're going to go to Kutztown. Are you going to play at Kutztown?
Yeah, I'm playing at Kutztown.
Oh,
she just signed. She has a full scholarship, so.
Oh, that's great. So you excited to play?
Yeah.
Okay. And Shelby, I think it would be great if you go to Lafayette. We have brochures in the back here. What do we need to entice you to come to Lafayette? It was a part of the Lafayette Sports Network here at RCN.
I don't need to be convinced. I really want to go there. So hopefully it all works out, and I want to be a part of their team. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Keith has connections, so make sure that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see her on RCN.
I always think it's great when we can keep the local kids local and keep the spotlight on them. It'd be great.
All right. In just a moment, we're going to be switching players here. We also have a special interview that we recorded earlier today. But right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where he gets to sound off and talk about anything going on in his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I want to go back to the NBA, and you know, these girls, the boys teams I cover, the high school people, they put a great effort on the floor every single night. Now you go to the National Basketball Association, and I just feel bad for the people of Memphis, for example, because last night the Grizzlies are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland shows up without LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, and you're paying a lot of money for these games. You've got to show up. It's disgusting to me. There's a lot of money being spent for these tickets. You owe it to the fans. Now, maybe you don't feel well. Maybe you want to maybe play 25 minutes instead of 30 or whatever the case may be. But my goodness, the NBA just had a new collective bargaining agreement. These guys are making millions. They'll make more in 2 months than a lot of us will make in 20 years or 30 or maybe 3 months from Chris's case. But look it, you gotta show up. It's ridiculous. I know the NBA can't wait for Christmas Day. They have wall-to-wall basketball. They're advertising it with Santa Claus. I will not watch it because you got to put out and put an effort on the floor every single night as far as I'm concerned. And until they do that, until they prove they're going to do that, I'm not buying in. They do it in the playoffs. Come on. I mean, it's not that hard. I know it's 82 games is a long season, but my goodness, come on. Give the people their money's worth. And also with the NBA, very sad note, Craig Sager, who was the colorful TNT guy, the guy that did all the, even brought a smile out of Greg Popovich, he passed away today. But boy, he lived his life to the fullest, and he showed what courage is all about. Craig Sager, you were a great guy. You did a lot for a league that needs a lot of help. We're going to miss you on those broadcasts.
All right, and a quick reminder, our year-in-review show is coming up fast on us. Your last chance to give feedback for our annual year-in-review special that's going to be coming up on RCN. We need your vote. We're looking for your votes this year because we're going to tape the show in advance, so you have to email us if you want to give your input. We're looking for your votes for Team of the Year, Most Outstanding Performance, Biggest Story, and a whole lot more. Some great categories. Go online to the Sports Talk Shop, rcn.com/rcntv. Information on how to vote. But we need to get the votes by Sunday, the deadline, Sunday, December 20th. If you do want to vote, if you want to weigh in, or if you want to nominate someone, get on there to the website, rcn.com/rcntv. Information on voting is there. And then tune in for our Year in Review show right around the holiday season. We'll also be posted online for more details on that. As mentioned earlier, we did record an interview with Hall of Famer and George Washington girls women's basketball coach at George Washington University, Jen Rosati. And here's our interview with Coach Rosati about her team and her great career. Okay, we're very happy to be joined by the head coach of the George Washington women's basketball team, Jen Rosati, in her first year. Coach Rosati, thanks so much for joining us and welcome to Sports Talk tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on your great start to your career at GW. Could you talk about how your first year has gone and overall, how happy are you with your team's 7-4 start?
Well, it's been a very fairly easy transition. I give a lot of credit to the girls on the team. They've been very receptive to a new coaching staff. This is a team that's had a lot of success in the last couple years, and it could have been a very difficult situation to walk in with a new coaching style and a new staff, but very coachable, very bright young women who have made my professional transition very, very easy. We've obviously gotten off to a good start. We've had a very tough schedule early that's hopefully will prepare us for the rigors of A-10 play with a few more games to come. So,
and you, of course, had a lot of experience at Hartford, too. Unprecedented run of success at Hartford, six NCAA tournament appearances. You're in the Women's Hall of Fame. Could you talk about what attracted you to GW and bring all of your experience and all of your success to the Colonials?
Yes, well, you know, I think that the fact that George Washington is reputation as a great academic school was the attraction number one. I wanted to be at a place at this point in my career where I could sell that balance of the academic and athletic success. Mm-hmm. I had some time in my career where I crossed paths with Patrick Nero, our athletic director. I knew he was somebody that was passionate about women's athletics. And I've always been attracted by the Atlantic 10 Conference. I think it's one of the best conferences in the country, especially for the sport of basketball. And I was very intrigued at, you know, kind of challenging myself at that next level with the great coaches that are in our conference, and being able to consistently compete on a national level as well.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about your team this year? In addition to having seven wins, a 7-4 start, it seems like you have a lot of balance. You have five different players averaging 8 or more points, good shooting numbers across the board. And your wins, you're winning by a large margin, and even the losses, the few there have been so far, most of those games have come right down to the wire. So tell us a little bit about your teams this year.
We definitely have a lot of great balance on the offensive end of the floor, and that's something I've been preaching from day one, is taking care of the ball, getting great shots, pursuing the offensive glass, and really sharing the basketball. One of the highlights of the season so far was our game against VCU, where my team had 25 assists on 32 baskets. Mm. And that's like a coach's dream. I got a very unselfish group of young ladies who puts the team first, and they put winning above all else. And in the games that we've lost, they've like you said, they've been competitive. We've been in every single game and actually have been up in every fourth quarter other than Syracuse, which we only lost by 3. Mm-hmm. So every one of these games have been a learning experience for our team. Like I said earlier, that will hopefully prepare us for what's to come in January and February. And that's the goal of any coach in the non-conference portion of their schedule.
And that loss to Syracuse was against a team, the Orangemen, of course, ranked right now in the top 11, I believe, in the country. Could you talk about the individual players on your team, some of the key players, and maybe some of the underrated players that haven't gotten a lot of attention so far this year?
Yeah, well, we're certainly led by our group of seniors. Kyra Washington is returning as an all-conference player and was preseason first team All-Atlantic 10, and she leads us in scoring and rebounding, and she's drawing a lot of attention this year and really learning how to be a go-to player for us. Hannah Shively is kind of the heart and soul of our team. Not only does she score for us, but she rebounds, she assists. She's on the floor more than anybody else combined. She's just one of those kids that really is one of the most competitive spirits I've ever been around in basketball. Shannon Cranshaw is probably one of our unsung players. somebody who comes off the bench for us and provides a lot of shooting accuracy. She's another tough player for us that doesn't turn the ball over a lot and really takes pride in being tough on defense. And then our graduate student, Lexi Martins, who's coming from us after 3 years of being the best player at the University of Lehigh. And she's another one that brings a spark off the bench for us. And, you know, that crew really gets a lot done on the floor in the statistics. And we're being led by a young point guard in Maylin Batista, who's still trying to figure out, you know, how to lead this group of upperclassmen. But she's probably somebody that's gone under the radar a little bit, but is very important to our future success.
Our special guest joining us via the Skype line, Jen Rosati, George Washington University head coach of the women's basketball program. You mentioned you've already played some very stiff competition so far. You got a big game coming up. Your next contest is against Stanford, ranked 10th in the country right now. What are some of the things that you've noticed by watching film on them, and what are some of your expectations and keys for that ball game coming up?
Well, we're fortunately in a time where we have a little bit of practice opportunity, which mm-hmm. you don't always get in November and December. So I am looking forward to having a little bit of time to actually work on us before we prepare for Stanford. Mm-hmm. But our kids are also in finals, so it's a very stressful time academically for them. So this is a good week for us to heal, for us to fine tune some of the things we've been doing on offense. Stanford is very, very balanced as well. Their leading scorer, Erica McCall, is one of the best players in the country. She'll be a tough matchup for us. But they really have a good balance between guys that can shoot the ball, they can put the ball on the floor and score, and they've run very disciplined offense. So, you know, again, another ranked team on our schedule coming mm-hmm. in to play us here at the Smith Center. We're very excited about the opportunity to test ourselves against one of the best in the country and one of the best coaches in the country in Tara Vanderveer.
Yeah. All right, before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts on what the holidays are like for you. You mentioned you have a little bit of time now with finals and everything going on, but then you got two games right before Christmas, and then you're playing on New Year's Day, and then you have the A-10 schedule shortly thereafter. So what's the next few weeks like for you and your program?
Well, like I said, we'll have a little bit of time to just improve over the next few weeks with less games and more practice time, but also some physical days off for our kids to rest and recoup after a tough, rigorous schedule up to this point. So after that game on the 23rd, our kids will be able to go home for 4 or 5 days. And I love the fact that when we come back from the Christmas break, we'll be right into our Atlantic 10 schedule with one of the best teams in the Atlantic 10 up to this point in Duquesne. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to really focus our efforts on our second but first Atlantic 10 game after the new year, and really set some goals, some hopefully very ambitious goals for our team and what they want to accomplish heading forward. And so we'll use those Stanford and Loyola games as our last practice opportunities, and then the real season starts on January 1st.
Sounds good. Coach Rosati, thanks so much for your time. Congratulations on your great start and continued success to you and your program.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
It was our pleasure. Jen Rosati, the head coach at GW, kind enough to join us. And we'll take a break and be back with more of tonight's Sports Talk in just a moment. They're singing already here. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. A great rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I'm told, is coming up a little bit later on. But here in studio, we're joined by Dave Lutz, head coach of the girls basketball program at Easton High School, joined for a second half hour by Mackenzie Myers and Olivia George. Ladies, thanks for joining us here. Thanks to the gallery, too. Hope you enjoyed being over there. I know you're going to call some people out in a minute here, too. But I want to talk a little bit. First, Mackenzie, I'll ask you, a tough year last year with your injury. Where are you at getting back to full strength?
Yeah, well, last year, I was diagnosed with mono, mm-hmm. so I was out for, like, pretty much, like, leagues, districts, states. So it was really frustrating because, it's, you know, that's, like, the whole, like, year. It's, like, you look forward to that.
Yeah.
But I was just telling Liv how, like, seeing my team win leagues was, like, one of the best feelings. So I guess it's just been a huge motivation for me this year to really stay healthy, stay strong, so that this year I can be a part of it.
And Olivia, what was it like for last year? You lose Gabby early in the season, then you lose Mackenzie in the second half of the year. What was that like from an emotional standpoint to deal with this?
Well, I mean, it was never easy. We had Kara out, we had Gabby out, we had Kenzie out, and then in the summer we had Shelby out.
there was always something going on at some point throughout the season, but we realized that we could never use those things as excuses to lessen our game mm-hmm. and to be negative. And we kind of just used it to work more together and help us build the team atmosphere that we had.
And what's it like as seniors at your last year? You have that intensity. I know you want to go out and win EPC and win districts and go deep. How does that translate now? You have some of the younger players here too. I mean, it's your last year, so you and the seniors really want this year to be special. But, you know, how does that exist with some of the younger players? I know, Coach List, you're trying to work in younger players into the mix here. So what's it been like as seniors this year? We're interacting with the younger players.
Well, we had our first game with Liberty on Tuesday. And just on varsity, we had 11 out of the 13 girls score. Mm. And that's an amazing feeling, knowing that, like, we had so many things go wrong last year, which hopefully we don't have the same things go this year. But if things do happen, we have people, the next fives coming in just as strong. And I think that's an amazing way to have a team.
Just wanted to get your thoughts on Coach here a little bit. He's so studious. He's scholarly. He's like a college professor. I'm sure he's not that way during practice sessions, right?
Wow.
Well, Coach isn't afraid to get on us. He's definitely gotten in our heads, all of us, at some point or another. But that's where it comes down to being a good team and picking each other up after Coach, rightfully so, gets on us a little bit every once in a while.
Well, we can save that for you if they ever complain about you.
You know, all the girls are a joy to coach. I'll say something about this senior group. And, you know, I've mentioned this to them about tradition. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I know they're leaving this program is that the seniors are our hardest workers. They're the first in line. They take more criticism than any other, the players, and they're really good about it, and they're great teammates, and that tradition that they're leaving for the program is going to carry over for many, many years to come, and that's one thing I'm very thankful for.
And that'll help them in life, too. I mean, you got to deal with criticism, and I think a lot of athletes that go beyond high school that don't get criticized, they have a hard time adjusting with that and taking criticism or feedback.
Well, I like to think that I offset some of the criticism with praise. You know, sometimes they get pretty upset at me, I can tell, and I try to keep quiet. But they're very good about, especially the seniors, about taking the criticism, constructive criticism. And, you know, the thing I've always liked, I'll criticize them, but then if I'm, correcting underclassmen, they're the first ones to support them. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always happen on teams. You know, a lot of times it's like, I'm glad he's not yelling at me. But, I see them on the side, patting each other on the back and picking someone up after, tried to correct them. So that I really do appreciate that, and it's one of the strengths of this team.
Mm-hmm. Viv, I asked you before, you coached boys for many, many years, had a lot of success. Tough, didn't you follow Stan Sutphin?
Oh, yes.
And which was a tough deal. That's right. A tough deal. One of the colorful characters and one of the most successful coaches in Eastern history. But you adjusted really, really well to coaching girls. And I think you told me one time, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the good players will listen, and the ones that don't listen, well, they're not playing for you or something like that. You said that one time.
I haven't had that problem. And I went in, and I'm coach basketball players. And mm-hmm. that's the way you look at it. They do all the same things. They work very hard. They're very competitive. They don't like to come out of games, so they're very similar to boys. And in that aspect, but my practices, except for new drills and things that we do, are like the time frame is the same thing, same way I coached the boys many years ago.
We have a graphic of your upcoming schedule, and I know you don't want to look too far down the road, but as we were talking about during our first segment, you have a very tough division that you're in, tough league. What are some of the games you're looking forward to playing? And, you look at Northampton, they have Asia Blunt, outstanding center. Becca has some outstanding guards. You go around to different teams, they have different strengths. So you're challenged each game to kind of come up with a new game plan defensively. So when you look at the upcoming schedule, are you excited to play any teams or any games stick out in your mind? I know you got Nazareth this year, which you didn't have in years past.
Yeah, for sure. We have a couple games. I mean, every game for us is just super exciting. I think that's a special thing about like this league and like who we get to play. It's like every game is going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. But there are some teams. I know Nazareth is a big one that we're really looking forward to playing. Bethlehem Catholic, they have a good team this year, so we're excited to play them. Parkland has always been a really fun game for us, but we haven't, I don't think we get to play them in the league this year. So yeah, there's definitely some teams.
Yep. Olivia, any teams you're really excited to play?
Well, I think if there was a schedule that would prepare us to have a good run in states this year, this would be the schedule.
Good point, yeah.
So I'm really excited that we are going to have all these teams that we get to play and help make us better throughout the season. But like you said, we can't look too far ahead, and every game is one game at a time. That's the best way to take it.
You're already committed. Mm-hmm. Everything's signed, sealed, and delivered to Boston University to major in journalism.
And she can watch RCN in Boston now, because we're up
there.
This
great.
Show is
that's
up there
great. I'm sure she's going to make that a top priority, especially
watch
this show.
Watch us every Thursday.
But I want to first start with getting it done academic. Boston U is a tough, tough academic school to get into. Mm-hmm. You must get it done. You must get it done academically, work hard on your testing and so forth. Tell me about that a little bit, because I know this sport is demanding. People think you just pick up the ball in mid-November, and no, it's 12 months a year now, and it's intense for 12 months a year.
Yeah. I know one thing Coach Lutz always says is, we kind of have to put our social life aside when it's basketball season. Priority is basketball, because it's like we're a family here, and then also Scholastics. And I think there's not one person on this team that doesn't put Scholastics like second. It's hard, it's difficult, especially balancing the two. But it's nothing that I don't think anyone in this room couldn't handle.
Journalism, you really get that passion for it?
Yeah.
But don't talk her out of that.
As long as she's not going to be a sports writer and apply. I know you have Miss Deegan's on, and she's got a family connection to another newspaper in the Lehigh Valley, right? And I have great respect, by the way, for your father. He does a fantastic job. But anyway, you love journalism, right? Journalism taking a beating right now in many ways, but you're gonna get in there and be a new generation for us, right?
Yep.
Looking forward to it?
I am. I really am.
And she's going to be a doctor, right? Is that what I heard during the break? What kind of doctor?
My initial goal was to be an orthopedic surgeon, but I don't really know for sure yet.
If I could just say something, sometimes our school gets beat up a little bit about test scores and things, but you look at the girls on this team, and it's not just Eastern girls basketball, it's throughout our sports team and our school, the great education that they're getting. I mean, look at some of the schools that they're talking about going to and already going to attend. Our school does a great job, and this is, proof that you go to Easton High School and you want to work hard and challenge yourself, you're going to get a great education. And I have no hesitation saying that.
Well, that's just as important as championships. I mean, you got a great championship, an EPC championship last year. But when you can have kids going to Pitt or Penn State, Boston U, on and on, Lafayette, hopefully, and so forth, I mean, that's what you're doing things the right way as a coach and as a program.
Well, they come from great families, and I'll tell you a story. Coming up on the bus, they're studying. And to be honest with you, I tried to eavesdrop on some of the questions, and I don't think I got one right.
I hear you.
I believe we have a fun story from Jackie, wants to tell us a humorous story. Jackie, grab the microphone and tell us your story.
Like the girls have been saying, like, we're really, really close, tight-knit unit. And one of the things that was funny to all of us was Coach Lutz gets very emotional, and we all know that.
You opened the door, Keith, for this.
And Taylor, back there, was subbing in one game.
Taylor.
She was subbing in one game, and Coach Lutz, something happened on the court. I'm not for sure what happened, maybe a foul or something. And Coach Lutz went and swung his arms and hit Taylor right in the face, and she fell down. And all of us looked at each other, like, do we laugh? But it was so funny. But we all, like who else wants to share a story?
Someone promised me a song here, so go ahead.
Oh, my God,
tell your story
I'm not
first,
singing
though.
A song. Well, 2 years, or last year, this year, in open gym, Jacqueline, our friend, is a little clumsy. And so we're doing our defensive slide drill, and she, trips over her feet. I don't really know what happened, but she ended up on the ground. And so we're just of course it was Jacqueline. So I think Coach just, ignored it or something. I'm not really sure what happened, but then he was like, Jacqueline, what? And let's go, what's happening? So everyone just was okay, Jacqueline's fine, get up. So,
Anyone else?
All right. We're going to take a quick break. I think we're going to play the round table and throw some questions that our panelists did not know prior to their arrival in the studio coming up. But as we go to break, in the preseason chatter, not many teams were talking about the Nazareth boys basketball team when it came to potential playoff teams. But the Eagles got off to a 2-0 start when our Sports Talk cameras stopped by their gym to talk with them about their team.
You know, we're going to be young. That's obviously losing 95% of the offense, 95% of the playing time. The only guy back that has any kind of experience was Kevin Wagner.
A lot of people are looking at us to not have the best season, but if we continue to work hard, we might show people what we're really about.
Defensively, we're definitely trying to limit the other team's points, you know, into the 40s or 50s area.
Offensive player, you got to realize to adjust to the defenses and really key in on coming off of screens and working my way to the basket. You got to forget about the last shot. If you made five in a row, if you missed five in a row, you just keep shooting. Good shooters keep shooting.
We've got a great team camaraderie so far. No one's really going to, you know, pick it on each other. If it is, it's very friendly. You know, I think we all mesh together very well.
I mean, we're really friendly with a new group of guys. I mean, we're looking to step up this year. We're looking to come together as one team. And I mean, if everyone fits in and finds their role, we'll be looking to make a run for the playoffs.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Quick reminder, still have that trivia question out there. You can email the correct answer to us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. The question one more time. Since 1990, there have only been two teams not currently in the EPC to win District 11 4A girls basketball titles. Email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. If you're watching us on replay or our podcast or online on The Morning Call website, feel free to weigh in. And if we have multiple winners, we'll select one at random on our next show. All right, our special guests in studio, Dave Lutz, Easton Girls Basketball Head Coach, Mackenzie Myers, and Olivia George joining us at the head table here. We have the rest of the team in our auxiliary studio. And real quick, before we go to the round table, does anyone want to tell the fire alarm story on the air? Yeah. All right, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
All right, so one time, we were practicing, and, you know, it was normal practice. We're doing our drills, and the fire alarm goes off, and Coach is like, just keep practicing. And, like, he didn't tell us to stop or anything. And there's a window, and we're seeing all these teachers running. And the alarm is going, all the lights are flashing, and we're still practicing, all the teachers. Like, he didn't even care. We're still practicing.
Was the building on fire, though? Was it really on fire?
We don't know.
No, we're not quite sure, but we still did practice.
Well, that's dedication.
That's focus.
I do not recall that story.
It's not a lie.
Oh, so
I promise.
You just made it up? Oh, no. Okay. All right, let's get to the round table and fire some questions at our panel up here. Nate can chime in as well. Just grab the mic. Topic number one, who's your most fun opponent to play? Not the best, you know, not comparing teams, just personally. Who's the most fun team to play? Coach, we'll start with you.
I would still say the Peaburg rivalry is still pretty special. I mean, you know, we had that great championship win last year, but I think, I don't want to speak for the girls, one of our first great wins together as a team was beating Fulsburg at Fulsburg when they were sophomores, when they had a really great team. And we had played them earlier in the year, and they beat us pretty good. And that was, I'll say for the girls, their first, it was their real signature win to play in their old gym now in front of a packed house. It was a great experience.
Yeah, a lot of girls are nodding at that one. Yeah. Mackenzie, how about you?
I really love to play Nazareth. It's always a big game and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that.
All right. Olivia?
For some reason, Parkland has always seemed like the most exciting game.
Yeah.
We had the buzzer beater last season and then the league, which was obviously a really exciting game. So that's what comes to mind for me.
Very similar, yet very deep team. Both of you are very deep, too.
So. Right.
All right, topic number two. Who is your favorite NBA or WNBA team or player to watch? Olivia, we'll start this one with you.
I like LeBron. I'll follow him wherever he goes. But so I like the Cavs.
Cavs, okay. Mackenzie?
Well, I really like Skylar Diggins just because I watched her play at Notre Dame when I was younger. So that's kind of like my favorite WNBA player, at least.
Dave?
Well, as the girls know, I don't really follow the NBA too much.
No, a lot of people are not at that one.
You love it?
Well, there's certain teams, and I think they're probably bored of all the Warrior clips that I've shown to them over the last couple of years. But I really enjoy certain teams, the Warriors being one. Not that I'm a fan, but I'm a fan of how they play basketball. Mm-hmm.
Keith, do you have a favorite team you watch? I know you don't like the NBA.
No. Well, I covered the 76ers for 10 years. I'm waiting for them to get good again. I think they might be a pretty good team the second half of the season.
All right. We only have 30 seconds left, so real quick, a stone cold lock, something you guarantee that will come true in the world of sports. Staying away from high school girls basketball, though. But Coach Lutz, what's your stone cold lock tonight?
That the Giants will make the playoffs.
Giants will make the playoffs. Okay. Mackenzie?
Can it be about, like, boys basketball?
Anything, yeah, anything at all.
Easton boys basketball will win Rotary Tournament.
Okay, very good. They had a big win against Liberty the other night. Very impressive. Olivia, Stone Cold, your entertaining votes here?
Lakers, Celtics, NBA Finals.
Well, that would be a dream for the NBA.
And Keith, real quick, your Stone Cold luck.
That Gary Laubach is still a better announcer than you are.
I agree with you. All right.
Thanks
to everyone for being here, Coach Lutz and the entire team.
Thank you.
Don't forget your year in review show coming soon to RCN TV. Tune in for that. On behalf of everyone, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone. Good night.